This is Peter Holzapfel, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra with the WGXC Morning Show. And we're talking about today how the Earth has been warming locally today and globally recently. And yesterday, December 5th, people spoke at the Climate Action Council meeting that New York State held. And we'll hear some excerpts of that discussion on the WGXC Morning Show. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather and the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Network. On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
On Saturday, December 10th, the Athens Cultural Center puts on the 2022 Athens Victorian Stroll, a holiday tradition that's been gone for a few years because of the pandemic, but is back this year with all sorts of free activities from 1 p.m. in the afternoon through the evening. Take a stroll through the village, sample all sorts of food and drinks. Santa Claus will be around and carolers will be singing. That's at the 2022 Athens Victorian Stroll on Saturday, December 10th. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org for more information.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of One Universal Media of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra with the WGXC Daily News for Tuesday, December 6th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Sam Rawdins reports for the Albany Business Review that the State University of New York Board of Trustees on December 5th named John B. King Jr. as new chancellor of its higher education system. His appointment is effective January 17th. Deborah F. Stanley, former president of SUNY Oswego, has served as interim chancellor since January. King served as the U.S. Secretary of Education under President Barack Obama from 2016 to 2017 and as the New York State Education Commissioner from 2011 to 2014. In 2017, King became the president and CEO of the Education Trust, a nonprofit that looks to identify and close achievement gaps for students. He was a candidate for Maryland governor, but finished in sixth place in the April 2021 Democratic primary. King holds an undergraduate degree in government from Harvard, a master's and a doctorate from Teachers College at Columbia University, and a law degree from Yale. He started his career as a high school social studies teacher. Quote, I'm only sitting here today because of the difference public education made in my life. My parents, who were both New York City public school educators for their whole careers, both passed away when I was a kid, unquote, he said on December 5th. Quote, it was unstable, lonely, scary a lot of the time, but school, public school, New York City public schools, quite literally saved my life. Amazing New York City public school teachers made school a place that was safe and nurturing and engaging, unquote. SUNY has been without a permanent chancellor since Jim Mylotarz resigned earlier this year after 2019 text messages were made public in which he made disparaging remarks against former government colleague Lindsay Boylan, the first woman to publicly accuse former Governor Andrew Cuomo of sexual harassment. King will be paid an annual salary of $750,000. Read more about this story in the Hudson Business Review. Paul Kirby reports for the Daily Freeman that election workers in seven counties, including in Columbia and Greene, on December 5th began a 1 million vote recount to determine who will take the third seat in a race for the state Supreme Court's third judicial district. The count is likely to take a week to complete, according to Democratic Ulster County Board of Elections Commissioner Ashley Dittus. With less than 1,000 votes separating the two lowest vote-getters, the Board of Elections in the seven counties that make up the state Supreme Court 3rd Judicial District are involved in a hand count of the more than 1 million ballots cast in the race. Voters were asked to elect three Supreme Court 3rd Judicial District justices from a field of four candidates. According to the State Board of Elections website, the two top vote-getters in the race were Democrats Megan K. Galligan and Sharon A. Graff. Meanwhile, Republican Thomas Marcel received 164,776 votes, while Democrat Heidi Thais Cochran got 163,777, a spread of only 999 votes. As a result, a hand count of all ballots was triggered. Quote, we will keep doing it until it's done, unquote, Dittus said. Read more about the story in the Daily Freeman. Raga Justin reports for the Times Union that a federal judge on December 5th dismissed bribery and fraud charges pending against former Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin. His arrest, based on allegations of federal corruption, led to his resignation from the Hochul administration in April. In his decision, U.S. Judge Paul Oetken granted Benjamin's request to dismiss three counts of bribery and honest services wire fraud, acknowledging the indictment filed by federal prosecutors, quote, failed to allege an explicit quid pro quo, unquote. Oetken did not dismiss two other charges related to the falsification of records. At the time of his indictment, the U.S. Attorney's Office described the case as, quote, a simple story of corruption, unquote, involving a quid pro quo scheme stemming from Benjamin's 2021 campaign for New York City comptroller. Prosecutors alleged he secured campaign contributions from real estate developer Gerald Midgall in exchange for steering $50,000 in taxpayer funds to a nonprofit organization that Midgall ran, Friends of the Public School Harlem. Read more about this story in the Times Union. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Everything is real. Radio.
Everything is real.
Radio.
Everything is real. Radio.
Everything is real. Radio.
Everything is real. Radio.
Everything is real.
Radio. Radio. Radio.
The Everything is Real radio program broadcasts here on WGXC 90.7 FM every second Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. Don't miss it.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, December 6th. Local early morning temperatures range from 27 degrees in Medusa to 40 in Skodak. Regional average soil temperature is 38 degrees. Closest likely snowfall today is 250 miles away in a long stretch falling across several Canadian territories. Here in the WGXE general listening area, rain is expected today. The relatively mild morning just gets warmer with wet stuff falling by noon for most, and the whole area should be getting it by dark. We'll see a steady climb in temperature all day, hitting 52 degrees just before the evening hours. Then, the rain keeps on going and temperatures linger around 50 degrees all night. Tomorrow, still wet, high of 57 happening at 1 p.m. Overnight, rain finally ends and we see a low of 42 degrees. Thursday appears dry with a high of 50 degrees. And 31 degrees overnight takes us into a dry-looking Friday with a high of 42. Be aware that these temperatures mean ticks will be active all week. Sunset today will be at 4:11 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:06 a.m. Looking way up, we see major incoming solar wind flowing from a giant coronal tear in the sun's surface is due to arrive Thursday night. Flare chances are also increasing, currently 40% for M and 10% for X-class flares. Solar wind speed is currently 393 kilometers per second at a teeny tiny 2.7 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 89. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of John Mason of Chatham, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to Quintron's Weather Warlock. Live stream of an analog drone synthesizer played by the weather, made by the New Orleans-based artist Quintron. You can listen to the Quintron Weather Warlock take the changes in weather at Wave Farm in Greene County and hear it anytime, 24 hours a day, at wavefarm.org/listen. Go to any WGXC.org webpage and click on the listen button to hear Quintron's Weather Warlock, turning the changes in precipitation and sunlight and wind and temperature into sound.
Are dangerous times.
Yesterday's alone. Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
As we've learned these past few years, protecting our democracy requires everyone's participation to help discern truth from fiction and listen to experts seeking to uphold our laws and republic rather than promote conspiracies.
Arizona's Secretary of State Katie Hobbs has signed papers to certify the results of the state's midterm elections, a historically low-profile event that is expected to draw immediate legal challenges. Two Arizona counties initially delayed certifying their results after some Republican officials made unfounded claims that voters were disenfranchised due to malfunctioning voting machines. Among the races Hobbs certified was her own win in the state's governor's race. In Georgia, the final push is underway in the U.S. Senate runoff election.
There is still time on the clock. We still have a window of opportunity to shape our destiny as a state, as a country, and as a world. That is the privilege of living in a democracy. Our vote matters.
Georgia's Democratic Senator John Ossoff told students at Georgia Tech that they will be the deciding voice in the election between Democratic incumbent Senator Raphael Warnock and Republican challenger Herschel Walker. Both candidates fell short in last month's midterm election of the 50% threshold required to secure a win. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says President Joe Biden is upholding his commitment to promote diversity by supporting changes to the Democratic Party's primary calendar.
To him, respecting our diversity as a nation and breaking down barriers for our people is a fundamental principle.
A Democratic National Committee panel has voted to make South Carolina the first state to cast ballots, replacing Iowa. New Hampshire would share a primary 3 days later with the state of Nevada. New Hampshire Senators Gene Shaheen and Maggie Hassan chose to skip the White House congressional ball Monday evening in protest. The Supreme Court heard arguments from a graphic artist in Colorado who objects to designing wedding websites for gay couples, despite the state's protective anti-discrimination law. Justice Sonia Sotomayor asked what unintended consequences a ruling in the artist's favor would have for other businesses.
How about people who don't believe in interracial marriage? Or about people who don't believe that disabled people should get married? Where's the line?
A bipartisan group of senators says they are working to protect so-called dreamers before Republicans take control of the House next month. The group has proposed a path to legalization for the roughly 2 million undocumented people who arrived in the U.S. as minors in exchange for increased border security funding. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Yesterday, we introduced you to Moore versus Harper, the U.S. Supreme Court case testing the independent state legislature theory. But the theory is rooted in the argument of one man whose document even James Madison thought was sketchy. Scholars from the Brennan Center for Justice wrote in Politico in September that the story begins at the Constitutional Convention in 1787. Delegate Charles Pinckney of South Carolina had proposed that legislatures should elect federal representatives. His original plan was lost, but in 1818 he produced what he said was a copy. Problem was, James Madison and the other delegates said it wasn't his original proposal, and that his original proposals had been rejected. Their suspicions were backed up by the minutes of the Constitutional Convention. Fast forward to 2022, where the North Carolina legislature cites Pinckney's document as evidence that the framers intended for legislatures to have power over all federal election matters. In fact, the Constitution only dictates that the times, places, and manner of congressional elections shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof, unless Congress chooses to make or alter the rules. Should the majority of our current U.S. Supreme Court buy into this shaky theory, it will have a sweeping impact on each state's elections, voter eligibility, and certification procedures. We have links to details on the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Fell apart. Would you pick up the pieces and start?
Look over there, honey. That cow's eating some of that pirate booty you like.
Oh, I love that pirate booty. It's so crunchy and cheddary and cheesy and delicious.
Yeah, I brought a couple of sacks of it. A couple of sacks of booty up from Scarsdale in the back of the Cadillac.
Oh, honey, I love that pirate booty. I like to eat it in a bowl and pretend that it's cereal, and I put butter on it instead of milk.
Well, I guess butter is kind of milk. Look at these young ladies out there. Really going wild with the butter.
Oh, I love butter. I love to put it on everything. Why, I once had a butter hamburger, but the hamburger was made out of butter.
Well, wouldn't that just be butter then?
Well, it was butter, but it was a hamburger, but the cheese was butter, and the hamburger part, it was all made out of butter.
Well, then that would just be butter, honey. It would just be a butter burger. You don't have to say hamburger.
Well, what I'm saying is the shape of it was a hamburger, like a cheeseburger, and I ate that. But it was actually just all butter.
Oh. Look at these gals. They're certainly kicking up a butter storm out there.
Oh, I love it when they kick up a butter storm. It's so wonderful to see their tails swishing away the flies from their anuses.
Yeah, they really do a lot of anus swishing around out in that field out there.
Oh, they're just beautiful. I love those girls. They're just out there every day working hard, making butter, this, that, and the other thing, don't you know?
Yeah, let's get back to the car and get some of that pirate booty.
Oh, yes. I'm going to put some butter on that booty.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
On December 5th, the New York State Climate Action Council held its last meeting before an expected vote in 2 weeks to adopt the final climate plan. New York Renews, Green Faith Pause, and other groups held signs outside the meeting to urge the council to drop a stronger plan. There is concern about how fast they're going to require new buildings to stop using gas, and concerns have been raised about their support of blue hydrogen in particular, but also what they call cap and invest, which seems to be the controversial cap and trade program rather than a carbon tax in order to raise the funds to pay for the transition to clean energy. We hear from a number of participants. We first speak with a member of the council.
I catch up with Rhea Salter at the meeting of the New York State Climate Action Council. You know, Rhea, what are some of your hopes for the plan that's being developed by the council?
My hopes are that it is the people's plan as it was designed to be, that it remains the people's plan, that it remains for the people and citizens of New York and their health and their welfare and our climate and the natural world, and not the interest of the fossil fuel industry.
I know some of the groups like the Climate Justice Working Group have raised some concerns about the cap and invest program. Are any changes possible at this point, or do you think cap and invest is the way for the state to go to raise some funds to fund these programs?
I think we'll see. You know, I think after today's meeting, you know, there may be some potential to have some tweaks. You know, it's the cap and invest is moving in a, there's an opportunity to make it something that's progressive, something that's new, and isn't the type of traditional sort of cap and trade or market-based mechanism that just sort of creates peril for EJ communities while trying to throw money at folks thinking that's going to be the panacea. So hopefully, you know, something new, good, and progressive can come out.
And do you have any advice for, say, community residents, they want any impact at this point, what they might do?
Impact on the plan. Please, anybody who's watching, we appreciate you watching. And, you know, myself and other advocates are going to do the most we can to both listen to folks and then let folks know what's going on.
Well, thank you.
Ray Pendergrass, Capital Region Interfaith Creation Care Committee. We are represented here today to speak on behalf of the Web of Life and necessity to do something about climate change so that we can have a healthy future for ourselves and our children.
And do you have any impression yet of what the climate action plan is? Is it strong enough?
I think there are some very positive things in the action plan, but I'm concerned about some, you know, greenhouse gas emitting options working their way into the plan. We want to keep those out. And I also think that commission has not been fundamental enough in rethinking the way that government approvals and funding subsidize sprawl and energy waste. So I think there are many opportunities for improvements on that, and I hope that as much as possible can get in the plan.
And one last question, you know, why are faith community concerned about climate change?
Oh, the faith communities believe that it's a moral issue, that the destruction of living things is immoral, and the convenience of burning fossil fuels does not justify floods, fires, droughts, and other catastrophes that come with climate change.
Thank you, Barry.
Hi, Mark. Always a pleasure. Isaac with Frack Action based in Troy, New York. And we're here today to push back against false solutions, including development of hydrogen, including development of so-called renewable natural gas. Very concerned about that. And really to support our allies on the Climate Action Council, who have been advocating really hard over the last 2.5 years to give us the strongest plan possible.
Are there any particular changes you would like to see the council adopt to the plan?
The draft is consistently changing. We don't really have a strong sense of what the final is going to look like. We want it to be as strong as it possibly can and adequately fund climate justice in New York State.
Thank you.
Michael Richardson, I'm co-founder and core organizer with Rivers and Mountains Green Faith Circle.
And what are some of the key issues that you're hoping that the climate plan includes or doesn't include?
Well, first of all, we want to support the Climate Act unto itself. As you well know, that the Climate Act in New York State is one of the leading climate pieces of legislation in the nation. It's been around since 2019. So here we have what many consider to be the perfect Climate Act, and I believe that we put together a fairly respectable implementation plan, the so-called scoping plan. Of course, now the important part is we have to and also come up with the funding for the implementation of that act through the legislature. So today I think we need to, first of all, stand firm that the overall plan is a good compromise and we need to keep it intact. We want to push back still against any type of false solutions, primarily that around hydrogen and biogases. And then also, I think we want to emphasize that there needs to be more attention put into frontline communities, weatherization programs, and other mitigation programs that they face through climate disruption.
Now, the way that the Climate Action Council plan is going to try to raise funds is through something called Cap and Invest. Seems to be a little bit of a play of cap and trade. Any sense whether that's an adequate way to really raise the funds and lower emissions?
Well, I don't want to speak against Cap and Invest. I certainly will speak against cap and trade, but if there is going to be a cap and invest, that we need to be very careful that none of that shifts over to vulnerable areas. It's easy to allow major corporations to take the advantage and push that off into power plants and other generation that is located in sensitive areas. I think that we need to focus on the bigger picture of how we're going to get the trillions of dollars put into transitioning the economy from a fossil fuel-based economy to an economy that's based on renewables. And again, when I say trillions, that's not just New York State, that's the entire Northeast.
Thank you, Michael.
Hi, I'm Laura Falk, and I am here at the Climate Action Council meeting to advocate for the inclusion of the provisions that are in the All-Electric New Building Act. I think it is essential that buildings be electrified on a speedy time frame. Buildings are the number one source of greenhouse gas emissions in the state, and the longer that we build out new buildings that are dependent on gas infrastructure, the costlier it is going to be to convert those buildings to clean electricity. A much healthier option, burning fossil fuels in homes, contributes to asthma, and the sooner we can get fossil fuels out of buildings, it's better for the planet, it's better for the people living in the buildings. And I am hoping the Climate Action Council will mandate a strong timeline for requiring new buildings to be built without fossil fuel.
Well, it seems like they proposed moving that timeline back a year. Is that acceptable?
No, I don't think that it is. Climate emergency, we are way behind. Scientists have made it crystal clear that we have got to address the climate crisis and reduce our emissions by at least 50% by 2030. The window is rapidly closing, so we need the original timeline of all new electric buildings by 2024 to be in the scoping plan.
Thank you very much, Laura. Our last speaker is Margaret Heumann. She was up in court this morning for Extinction Rebellion protest a couple of weeks ago at TD Bank about stopping the financing of fossil fuels. Why are you continuing to protest?
Because it's still an emergency. What are we going to do? We got to make the banks feel bad about investing in this goddamn fossil fuels. I don't know.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
It's all right if you rob me. It's all right if you don't. I know I play low. It's alright.
love me. It's alright if you don't. I'm not afraid of you running away, honey. I get the feeling you won't. There is no use in pretending. Your eyes give you away. Something inside you is feeling like I do. We said all is to say. To me. Break down, honey, take me through the night. Break down, can't you see? Break down, it's alright. It's alright. Ooh, it's alright.
Have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at WGXC.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org/donate now.
Hello, this is Rob Gellis with This Month in History, a chronicle of significant or infamous events in art, science, music, literature, sports, and more that occurred this month either in the near or distant past. On December 1st, 1918, Iceland was granted independence by the Danish Parliament. On December 3rd, 1962, Edith Sampson was sworn in as the first African-American female judge after she was elected associate judge of the Municipal Court in Chicago. On December 5th, 1955, in Alabama, the Montgomery bus boycott began in response to the arrest of Rosa Parks for refusing to give up her seat on a municipal bus to a white man. On December 9, 1998, Swiss politicians elected Interior Minister Ruth Dreyfus as president, making her the first woman to lead the Swiss government. On December 11, 1901, the first transatlantic radio signal was transmitted by Guglielmo Marconi from Cornwall, England, to St. John's, Newfoundland. On December 14, 1911, Norwegian explorer Roald Amundsen became the first person to reach the South Pole. On December 16, 1773, the Boston Tea Party occurred as colonial activists disguised as Mohawk Indians boarded British ships anchored in Boston Harbor and dumped 372 containers of expensive tea into the water. On December 18, 1956, Japan was admitted to the United Nations. On December 20, 1860, South Carolina became the first state to secede from the Union in a prelude to the American Civil War. On December 22, 1783, George Washington, Commander-in-Chief of the American Revolutionary Army, appeared before Congress and voluntarily resigned his commission. On December 24, 1814, the Treaty of Ghent between America and Britain was signed, officially ending the War of 1812. On December 27, 1945, the International Monetary Fund was established in Washington, D.C. On December 31, 1879, Thomas Edison provided the first public demonstration of his electric incandescent lamp at his laboratory in Menlo Park, New Jersey. You've been listening to This Month in History, a monthly broadcast of the historic events on WGXC 90.7 FM. If you have an event that you'd like to hear included in This Month in History, email me, Rob Gellis, at info@wgxc.org.
you just heard The Tunnel from Aaron Dillaway and Lucretia Dalt's 2021 album Lucy and Aaron.
La música es la libertad, la casa de la libertad, la música es el flow.